Let's count it down. 20, 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 12, 10, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year!
And welcome once again to the Sweet Feathery Jesus podcast. After a brief hiatus over the holidays, we're back with a new episode, talking again, once again, to our good buddies here, Booze in the UK. How you doing, Booze?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you,
as you say over there.
Yeah. And Dr. P here on there on the East Coast here in the U.S.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, Dr. P, how you doing? I'm Belasco. Good. I'm talking to you from Austin, Texas. And tonight we're going to be discussing a little bit about the year in review, at least the year in review about radio and podcasts and other media and stuff that we really, really appreciated over the past year. And there's actually, especially in the terms of TV and podcasts, there was definitely a lot to be excited about. There was really good stuff.
The films were shit, though. Is that what you're saying?
There were a lot of shit films, I have to say.
We watched most of them.
Yeah,
for
we
the podcast.
Did. Yeah, I could I could do without another Tyler Perry movie for the rest of my life.
Hopefully, you'll get to.
I hope so.
I don't think you will, mate. I don't think you will.
So where do we want to begin? Do we want to start with radio, podcast, TV? Where do we want to begin?
All three of those were good entertainment years. They all overachieved, and we could go on and on about any.
Yeah,
like
I
you
agree.
Said, movies, it was a weak movie year in my opinion. Nothing blew me away.
When did The Road come out? Was
the
that
Road,
2009?
I think is the previous year. Yeah, I think it's 2009.
Hmm. Because someone was saying that came out right at the start of 2010, in this country at least.
Right.
And I was going to try and sneak that in, but I don't think it did.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think it got over there in 2010, and it was here at the end of 2009.
In that case, that wins hands down for me, because that's one of my films of the decade.
I loved it. I listened to the audiobook and loved the audiobook, but I enjoyed the movie as well. The movie was great.
Didn't catch it. This
really?
Was probably another one. Nope, I haven't. I should. I'll download
stuff.
It now. Another British or a British film I really liked was Four Lions, but that was 2009 over there. And
no, that came out this year.
That was this year.
Okay.
I still haven't seen it. I got to get around to watching it.
It's hysterical.
Yeah,
Spinal Tap with radical Muslims.
Yeah, I really want to see that.
It misfired a little bit for me at times, which would keep it, you know, from being my favourite film in a year.
Mm-hmm.
But all in all, yeah, it's pretty good. And just the idea of doing it alone is something only Chris Morris would do, you know?
Yeah, and I hadn't heard much of anything about Chris Morris until Opie and Anthony had him on his show, and they were discussing Four Lions. And And after hearing the discussion, I was like, I have to see this film.
It was really strange to hear him on, because it weren't just O&A, he did the whole circuit in America.
Mm-hmm.
And it was strange to hear him playing that game, because he doesn't play that game.
Right.
And I know Opie and Anthony ain't exactly, you know, super mainstream and all that, but when he's got, you know, Jimmy Norton going off on everything he's talking about in the background, normally I would expect Chris Morris not to go along with him on the more, you know, on the kind of stuff that he talks when he's talking about the ladies and how he treats them. But, you know, he was playing the game like a trooper.
Right.
So I guess he really wanted that film to be successful over in America.
Jimmy loved it. Jimmy was all over that. He also loved it from the previous year. I don't know if you saw it, Observe and Report, which was actually okay for
Wasn't that just like, you know, Mall Cop?
No, it was very different from that.
Huh.
Mall Cop
really?
Was more of a family film. Observe and Report was pretty goddamn twisted.
Was it?
There was some twisted shit in Observe and Report, yes.
I think that must have just got advertised in a different way in this country then.
It must
or
have.
The trailers that I saw weren't, you know, playing up that aspect of it.
Yeah, the mall cop thing, yeah, that was totally a shitty family movie. But Observe and Report was definitely, I mean, it's from the guys that, I think it was directed by the guy that directs Eastbound and Down.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a Jody Hill film. And, yeah, it was pretty twisted. I like Jimmy, I enjoyed it as well. And kind of like what you said with Four Lions, it kind of missed on a couple of things, but there were some moments in there that were just absolutely hysterical.
I'm downloading both these movies on the Pirate Bay right now. Both are actually, both are actually credited 2009. So.
You criminal. I'd like to say we don't condone this sort of thing.
My favorite film of the year was still Inception with Black Swan, a close second.
Is that any good, Black Swan, then?
I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. But of course, I'm kind of an apologist for Aronofsky. I've pretty much liked everything he's done, from Pi, Requiem for a Dream.
I saw Pi.
I love everything Aronofsky's done, and I love Black Swan. Some people thought there was just way too much ballet in it, but I thought it was...
Any ballet would be way too much.
Blasco, you can't have too much ballet. Come on.
Never.
I'm waiting for just a full movie of ballet. You know, like, ballroom dancing has become the big thing, and ice skating. Yeah. I'm waiting for ballet. That's the next step. Celebrities doing ballet.
Black Swan was less about ballet and more about the pursuit of artistic perfection. You could really substitute any type of artistic endeavor for ballet in that movie, and it's just about...
And it would have been a better film.
No, it's just about obsession with being perfect at whatever you're...
Photoshopping Beansy off of the SFJ site as a black man.
Exactly. It's exactly like Beans. I mean, you try to get the perfect Beans chop, which I still don't think there's been a better chop than Black Beans. I think Black Beans is my favorite.
Beansy's Millions.
Mexican Beans is really good, too.
Oh, man. Yeah, those that are not familiar with the site will have to go and check out some Beans Photoshops. You know, there should be a whole thread devoted to Beans Photoshops.
I'd be remiss not to remind everyone that it is Black History Month at SFJ. We celebrate a month early.
That's right.
So I do want to remind everyone, change your avatar to pay respect to the black community.
Given the black community the shortest month of the year. We're going for 31 days, right. Motherfuckers.
We give them their due.
And, like, I have the kid who got his nose busted by Epic Beard Man. Blasco, I see you had Antoine Dobson, a.k.a. Hide Your Kids, and Lee's and Dev's street sign. So we're all
Clay Davis from The Wire. Yeah. That's the intersection of Clay and Davis streets.
Sweet.
Yeah, at SFJ, we celebrate Black History Month a month early and honor it by changing our avatars to a black individual that means a lot to us.
I had C. Thomas Howell last year.
it's Soul Man, right?
Yeah, but I couldn't find it this year, so I had to go with Clay Davis.
Oh, man. Yeah,
and I'd like to say that Black History Month in the UK is in October. So they play fast and loose with it anyway, so we can have it anytime we want.
Certainly. Certainly.
We may do it twice a year.
In Britain, it should be the shortest month, because as far as I can make out, there's only really one prominent black person that they celebrate every year, and that's Mary Seacole.
Now, you're going to have to give us a little background on her, because I absolutely have no idea who that is.
She's the black Florence Nightingale. Okay. And props to her. She deserves to be recognized, but every year, she really does get her props. Time.
Oh,
it's her and Jazzy B at Soul to Soul. They
We discussed a little bit of film, and it was a shitty year for films. What do you think is the shittiest film you saw all year?
Oh, wow. Wow.
Twilight.
Oh, yeah, but that didn't come out this year, did it?
Yeah, and no, definitely
the one I watched did.
That's right.
Those of you who don't know, I downloaded and watched the wrong Twilight for our movie club. And then had to watch the right one. So I watched two Twilights of the trilogy.
Yeah, he's watching it backwards.
So, yeah, okay. Yep. So, yeah, we'll give you that one because you actually did watch the one that came out.
Eclipse.
Eclipse, yes. I'm tied for two worst films of the year that I actually saw. And as it turns out, I'm not even going to mention this because it was in the movie club, but the Why Did I Get Married 2 came out in 2010.
Ooh.
Oh, well, so yeah, that one definitely gets an honorable mention for us having to watch it on the movie club. But the two that are tied for the worst movie I saw this year are The Expendables.
Didn't see it.
Pretty bad.
That was
pretty awful. Entertaining, though.
And the other one was the Jake Gyllenhaal vehicle, Prince of Persia.
Didn't see that either.
Terrible.
What were you expecting it to be good?
No, we had guests over here in Austin, and they had never been to the Alamo Draft House, and it was literally the only thing they had any interest in seeing whatsoever because it was.
You can drink real beer there, right?
Right, exactly. It's a restaurant. It's a real beer, a nice selection of wines, beers, and everything else, and. So they wanted that experience, but we had to see Prince of Persia to get it.
Wow, so you needed the beer and the wine.
Oh, it was awful. It was awful. There were some excellent TV shows this year. Let's go top three. Who wants to start?
Number three, Boardwalk Empire. Number two, Idiot Abroad. And number one, drumroll, Breaking Bad. And I'm leaving out Louie and The Pacific and Eastbound and Down and Tosh.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think you'd do that.
Walking Dead. God almighty, there were some good shows this year. I was glued in front of the TV like I haven't been in probably 10 years. Or probably ever, really.
Yeah, it's been good stuff. I'd go with my number three would be The Trip. I don't know if many people would have seen that, but I've been bigging that one up on SFJ.
That was great.
It was great, and it was completely out of left field. I weren't expecting that. It was, for those who don't know, it was Steve Coogan, who Americans will probably only know as someone who's tried to break into movies and now does like little bit parts like, what was it, Night at the Museum, he played the Roman.
Right. You know? I think his biggest role in America was in that Hamlet 2.
Right, which was
out here.
Yeah, that was all right, but not all that. And he did Around the World in 80 Days, didn't he, with Jackie Chan? That was supposed to be his big break.
Yeah.
Didn't quite come off.
Right.
You know, because he's not really doing his own thing, is he? And that's the problem. This all comes out of, because the director of The Trip, the series, is a bloke called Michael Winterbottom, who's a film director over here, and a pretty good one. He did the 24-hour party people, you know, the Factory Records one.
Yeah, yeah.
And he did a film called Tristram Shandy, a cock and ball story, which had Coogan and Brydon in it.
Okay.
And within that, it was like a film within a film, and then it had them playing themselves, and it had them playing their real selves right at the end of it. It's very complicated.
Wow.
But they've kind of taken that end bit where they're playing a sort of exaggerated version of their real selves, and like 5 years.
You're going sav on us, I think.
All right, but 5-6 years later, they've taken that and made this comedy program out of it, which I just weren't expecting at all. So
here comes the football phone jokes.
To cut a long story short, I liked it.
Was Lee chopping out on you that bad? It wasn't just in my headset, was it?
No, I think it was just you.
You're kidding.
No, you fucker. Is well, that fucking fuck? Christian headset you bought?
No, I got a new one, dude.
Who from?
I'm not using the Jesus headset anymore.
What are you doing? The Seventh-day Adventists now?
No, it's just a new one. I don't know. It's just a regular little Best Buy.
Is it made out of
$30 one? It's not super nice, but Jesus Christ.
You got the Muslim one.
It's not that you can't move. Otherwise, it cuts out, is it?
No, that one was awful. That was the Christian one. I dropped a knife into it.
That's right,
I dropped a steak knife, and it stabbed right into the cord. I could have thrown
it. Being a Christian one, it'd be used to that. It's all right.
Yeah, you think. Yeah. The number two was The Trip, right?
No, that was my number three.
That was your number three? Okay.
Keep up.
Okay.
Please. Number two would be Idiot Abroad, and number one would be Breaking Bad, because I don't think you could beat that. And that's in a year where, you know, you had the much anticipated Boardwalk Empire and Walking Dead coming out as well.
Right.
And yeah, Breaking Bad. Come on. The writing in that, unbelievable. And the acting.
Breaking Bad. Yeah. My number three in TV of the past year was Mad Men. I just loved it. I was all over it. It just completely sold every bit of it for me. And I was kind of weak on it in the first season, but when I watched this past season, I was just like, yeah, this is a damn good show. So I have to give it to Mad Men as my number three. My number two, and yeah, I'm ready to accept the beating I'm going to get for this one. My number two of 2010 Doctor Who. Yes, I will take my beating for this, but that series was fantastic this past.
Now we've got to talk about this for a little while because you are the only one on SFJ. Are you the only one on SFJ who writes it?
I believe. Well, no, actually,
anyone else admitted to it?
There's one guy on SFJ that posts occasionally that has a Dalek on his avatar.
Fuck.
Oh, what?
See, that's the right answer, P. What?
Yeah.
The Daleks are Doctor Who's nemesis.
Yeah, his main enemy.
Okay.
They're like his Klingons.
What's this poster's name?
They're I can't remember right offhand, but...
They're real regular.
The Daleks are basically a trash bin with a plunger attached to it.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
It literally is that, but... I can't remember.
Oh, it used to be, yeah.
It still is. The plunger's still there.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I might be bringing some old baggage to this because I've discussed on the site that I think it is a class thing in the UK, whether you like Doctor Who or not. And I think it's the same carries over now with Harry Potter.
Right.
You know, and some kids, like Doctor Who's on BBC One, mm-hmm. and it's kind of tied in for me with programs on BBC One like Blue Peter, which was ostensibly a children's program, but the most exciting it ever got was when they taught you how to make Tracy Island, you know, from the Thunderbirds.
Oh, okay.
With just some paper mache and toilet rolls. Seriously, I'm not joking. And in this country, if you were like a middle-class kid, a lot of middle-class kids were banned from watching the other channel, ITV,
right.
Which was the best channel. So why Blue Peter was on? You had cartoons on the other side, which, you know, we were all watching, and those poor fuckers had to watch that. So, you know, and they were the kids who liked Doctor Who and come to school talking about that.
So,
on Monday morning and got beat up.
So there they were on Saturday night watching Doctor Who, and you were tuned in to some hip off-the-wall...
Well, no, at that time it was Dukes of Hazzard, the Fall Guy, you know, the A-Team, we were watching that. On the other side.
Awesome. And,
come on. It's better than Doctor Who is, or especially better than Doctor Who was back then. I mean, you admit yourself you can't watch those old ones.
Yeah, I can't. I can't. I can't watch the classics here. I've tried because there's tons of it on Netflix.
I have got a confession to make, though.
Okay.
I have Tom Baker's autograph.
Oh.
A signed photo that says, you know, to Lee, best wishes, Tom Baker dressed up as Doctor Who.
Nice.
Him, not me. Yeah, I'll have to dig that one out.
Awesome. Yeah.
That can be my avatar for Doctor Who month. Who is, because the new Doctor Who, I haven't seen it for a long time, but apparently he's marrying the daughter of one of the old Doctor Who's.
Oh, really?
Which is, if you know your Doctor Who, because they regenerate, don't they? They're basically the same person. That's some fucked up shit.
It's a great device to keep a show going.
Yeah.
It really is.
What,
no,
fucking the daughters of previous actors. Yeah, I agree.
Matt Smith is the current Doctor.
He's got a very big face.
He does. He does. It's like Easter Island, man, but... I got to say, after David Tennant, I was really surprised that he did as well as he did, because I was a really big fan of David Tennant as Doctor Who, but Matt Smith came in there and just nailed it. He was great.
At this point, I'm imagining that Dr. P is strangling himself. His new
pretty much
headphones.
Probably so. Okay. My number one, An Idiot Abroad. I could not get enough of Carl Pilkington. Carl Pilkington made me laugh, gut laugh, pretty much every episode multiple times.
It was brilliant.
It was.
And I love the fact that towards the end of the series, you could tell, like, I know that he didn't want to be anywhere that he was, but you could tell that he'd just given up going along with it. And when he got to Peru, remember that one, when they take him down river in Peru, yeah. And he's like, got to meet this tribe. And I'm guessing, because Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant were doing this from afar, you know,
right.
Coming up with the ideas and then getting the production team to sort things out, There was a show over here called Tribe. I don't know if that made it over there.
No, I hadn't heard of it.
It was really good. There's a guy called Bruce Parry. It was like a documentary and went out in the Amazon jungle. He went all around the world finding these, you know, the most kind of cut-off tribes, you know, with their weird practices. And he went and he joined in. So you had, you know, he goes to Peru and he finds this tribe. And he has to take their hallucinogenic drugs with him and trips his nuts off, you know, like 2001. And, you know, has his penis stretched out, sticks his head in a beehive, you know, all that kind of thing, runs around naked. And I imagine that that's what Ricky Gervais was thinking. But if you watch that clip of Idiot Abroad when they're in Peru and they've got a tribe who just kind of shuffle along embarrassedly, humming, you know? And I'm sure they're like carrying Tesco carrier bags and stuff like that. They've obviously weren't a real tribe. I'm not having that.
Right.
They look like they've got them from, you know, Peruvian Home Depot parking lot.
Yeah, they picked him up at the Old Navy in Peru. And
they didn't have time to show him the moves. They go this way, then that way.
They picked some clothes off the clearance rack and headed out to the jungle. Yeah, that was... just the fact that they told Carl that they used to be cannibals was... Yeah. That changed everything. That whole episode was made by the fact that Carl was terrified he was going to be eaten.
Is he having a laugh? I mean, what does he mean, they used to be cannibals? Well, yeah. What are they doing now, then? What happens if it's just... I'm like a rare delicacy that triggers something off? We haven't had a white man for years. Before you know it, they're all giving it all this. Hey, around the fire, me sat in a pot. What am I going to do?
You're worrying too much.
Worrying too much? Just go and stay with some cannibals. Make you feel, you know, feel at home. Okay.
I haven't got a problem. If I got hungry, I'd quite happily eat human. There's no difference. They say it tastes like pork anyway. But say if they took the lid off and it was just a foot... And they sort of said, have a bit. I'd almost be a bit like, well, I want to know a bit about the person first. In the same way that we do with chickens, everything's got to be, is it organic? Where's this been brought up? What field has it been on? What's it been eating? I'd be a bit like that. I'd want an organic foot. I'd want to know the history of it. Did he have athlete's foot? How often does he change his sock? Just a little bit of something that goes, yeah, this is a nice foot. It's worth eating.
I have to back him up on, why would you want to go to Peru? No, because John Peel died in Peru. Once you get up at that altitude, it's hard going.
Yeah.
And I would say I've seen most of the SFJ members. I don't think any of us should try it.
No.
That's for sure.
that's good advice. So, yeah, those are my top three for TV. Yeah, it's Mad Men, Doctor Who, Idiot Abroad. Those were my top three. Although all the ones that you guys mentioned, I also loved. There wasn't a single one that I didn't enjoy.
Yeah.
Louis was amazing.
Yeah, Louis was great as well.
Louis was fantastic. But you know what? I haven't finished Boardwalk Empire.
Really?
I still haven't gotten around to finishing it. I kind of stopped at like episode four and never went back to it. But it's not because I disliked it. I don't know. But it's
got out of the habit. There's too much Doctor Who to watch, isn't there?
Yeah, I guess so. I got no excuse at that point.
It picks up. You'll definitely dig it a lot.
I thought it was really good, but it was kind of slow moving, wasn't it?
That's it.
Remit. I mean, it's not pretending to be, you know, all action all the time. It's building up the story, the characters, and
right.
You know, But there's some spectacular violence in it.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. And the acting's great. I mean, but there was something missing, I think. I do think that.
Right.
You know?
Maybe they'll pick that up with the second season, because I think I'm pretty sure it's already been renewed.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah, it was.
Same with Walking Dead. I mean, we're all looking forward to that big time. And to me, that kind of never really made it for me. You know?
Yeah,
I felt like the first episode was perfect.
Yep.
And well, that was Darabont's episode. He wrote and directed
that. And then it was some bird directed the second one.
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know all
those
details, but
yeah,
my hopes are really high. And then the first episode, and it was the story as much as anything. You know, he just wakes up in a hospital and holy fuck, look outside. Yeah. And, you know, his meeting up with the father and son and, you know, the wife being
British.
A zombie and
busting
just a great story start to finish. And I thought this is going to be one of the best ever TV shows. And I don't know, from second one on, it was just,
I think that
it felt forced.
Yeah.
Trying to make
a bad
racist character use the N word.
I like that.
You know, just, I liked it too, but he just wasn't good at it. And I thought it was gratuitous. It was like, he's such a bad guy.
Well, it was set in the South, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Atlanta.
Yeah. Atlanta, it was.
It's an allegory. But the thing that I thought let it down was, you could tell that the first episode, it's a bit like Bourne Empire, you know, you had Scorsese doing the first episode.
Yep.
And then, but that was directed by people who had done Band of Brothers and Sopranos, and they're kind of like serial, you know, directors of all the best shows. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
With Walking Dead, there were moments in it where you just thought, hang on, that makeup don't look very convincing. You know, for the zombies, and it looks like they've got a bit of marzipan stuck on their face.
For the most part, the makeup was amazing.
Yeah.
For the most part, those zombies were great, dude.
I'll tell you, you're right about the ones that they showed up close. The ones that got up close.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, they really did well with the detail. But if you looked at any of those ones
in the
background, you're just like, well, they just basically pulled a Romero and painted them blue. So.
Yeah, that dude, there's nothing wrong with him. He's got a limp. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a great year for TV. I was really...
Real quick, we got to touch on Eastbound and Down. I think you guys probably watched that, too. Loved the season. Absolutely
Eastbound
loved it.
I like the first season a little bit better, but yeah, it was a strong season overall.
I still haven't watched
this year, actually.
Couple of episodes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, still ain't watched them. But
it ends beautifully, dude.
It's getting a beautiful ending. It's getting a lot of play over here. I don't think it's actually... Well, it might have shown over here. I don't know. I hardly watch any proper TV anymore. But it's been talked about in, you know, the Guardian newspaper and website and sabotage.com. I don't know if you know that website, which has a lot of people writing for it about various things. Sabotage Times, rather.
Oh, that's right. SFJ.com follows Sabotage Times on Twitter.
Yeah.
I read a lot of those articles. It's actually a really good site.
It is. If there's one thing I would say about it, though, did I have to use so many dang cuss words? You know? They all seem to think, because they're all, a lot of them are writers that don't really write that much for anyone else. So they seem to be following a pattern of using the F and C words. And as much as I love those words, I just think they're doing it, you know, for effect.
They're trying to distinguish themselves from the other news outlets of...
Well, I guess you wouldn't find out on the BBC site, no.
No, you never would. How about we talk about radio next?
Okay.
So who wants to start off with their... top three radio shows.
I'm not even going to count them down because I listen to Opie and Anthony 4 hours a day. That's such a huge chunk of my listening time.
Yep.
And catch Ron and Fez when I can. I don't like it as much as I used to, but still love Ronnie B. Besides that, I mean, there's a shitload of stuff on my iPod, radio shows I download, but that I really listen to every week. Not a lot of broadcast radio. I'll catch Kevin and Bean here and there. I mean, but no, it's a, really O&A is my diet of audio for the most part.
That's me. All of my stuff is satellite radio, and number one for me is, again, like you, O&A. And Ron and Fez, those are the two I make a point to listen to every day. But I also like, as far as a quality show or whatever, is Ron Bennington's Unmasked. I would have
to put that
there at number three if we're talking about separate shows from
those. Made any new ones of those this year then?
Yes, he has.
Right,
yes,
who did he interview for that then? Because I haven't heard
Let's see,
this year.
Recently he's had on Mark Maron. Trying to think, he had one on Michael McKean, I think he's had on, and one of them he actually did while his appendix was bursting, which was, you listen to it, you're like, wow, this guy did a show, because he went to the hospital almost immediately afterwards.
Finally.
And they had to do emergency surgery to clean out what was left of his appendix. It was an amazing show to listen to. He doesn't even remember doing the show, but it was great.
Don't you remember
who he was interviewing?
Don't you think sometimes, because it depends, obviously, whether you like the person he's interviewing or not, don't it? But
yes.
Do you ever get the impression that he's interviewing someone he doesn't really like, but he's kind of doing a James, what's his face, you know, actor studio?
Yeah. I get that a lot. I get that more with, because they kind of separated it off. Comedians go on Unmasked. And everyone else goes on another show that they do called Ron Bennington Interviews.
Right.
And they just run for an hour occasionally on satellite radio over here in the U.S. But, a lot more of those Ron Bennington interviews with people who aren't comedians. I get that sense more than than other stuff. Yeah,
definitely. See, that's Justin Barfer on there.
I doubt that's...
Man, I love that audio.
That was such an uncomfortable.
That is fantastic.
makes me just miss his East Side Dave more.
What happened to him then?
Yeah, they could do with him again.
Here's the thing. He got married.
Yeah, I remember that.
And he had himself a set of Irish twins.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
do you mean like as babies, not on the side from his wife?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. As babies, you know. And he's commuting from New Jersey to New York every day.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't have he really had a hard time being able to provide for his family. So he gave SiriusXM an ultimatum, like, look, maybe more, I'm gone. And, of course, SiriusXM was like, okay, see ya.
Yeah.
So now he works for a National Public Radio in New Jersey.
So it's Howard Stern's fault.
Exactly.
Basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Howard Stern is sucking up all the money. It's the same thing Opie and Anthony are complaining about.
I don't see how that model can go on working, do you? When, like, the internet has been around for
that's
a good long while now.
That's what's going to make it tough. And as much as I hate to say it, it looks like Bubba the Love Sponge is kind of a trailblazer. Because he's gone over to internet radio, subscription-based internet radio. Mm. And depending on how that's going to work out for him, will determine whether or not a lot of other people are going to go.
I think Carolla
seems to be doing okay for himself with commercials and his podcast.
Well, I think as soon as you can get the internet on your, you know, streaming on your car radio, that's it. As far as satellite radio goes,
as you no longer have to plug in your phone to your car, things are going to change drastically.
Yeah, or when you can rely on that 3G connection, you know?
Exactly.
Going in and out, like a fucker.
What about radio over there? Is there anybody we should be listening to in the UK?
No, it's a tricky one. I don't listen to the radio at all, apart from one radio station called TalkSport, and I'm embarrassed that I listen to that most of the time, to be honest, because it's awful. It's just basically like, it's a lot of Scousers and Northerners, you know, pundits, ex-football players. It's all about football, which is why I listen to it, or soccer, as you would call it.
Yeah.
And there's one good show on there, though, between 1 and 3 on a weekday, called Hawksby and Jacobs, and they're two basically comedy writers, and they're funny. They are funny, and they're great, but you wouldn't know anything about that. I won't bother expanding on that at all. But Opie and Anthony, funny enough, were when I first got the internet, and I thought, right, I wonder if I could listen to any American radio stations. Opie and Anthony was the first thing that I found because it was New York at the time.
Right.
You know, which is the first thing that attracted me. And I used to listen to them a little bit there. And that was when I guess they had some stricter guidelines back then. I don't know what station it was on.
Yeah, there was a period of time when they were doing K-Rock. Two shows. Yeah, one for CBS radio, which went over the regular airwaves. And then they would do a second show for Sirius XM. That was kind of a dark time. I like it now.
When was that, though? What kind of year are we talking about?
We're talking about
3 years ago, I'd say.
No, I'm talking about, start of
they had
last
an XM
decade.
Contract. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so, that would be like WNEW.
Yeah.
That would be around the 2000, 2001 years.
Yeah, around about then. But for me, it was interesting in they could still talk about stuff that you couldn't talk about in this country on the radio.
There's a guy on Sirius XM now that gets away with a lot called that they have on occasionally, Jason Ellis, who is Australian and does his show out of Los Angeles. And he's actually been a part of mixed martial arts. He's got a lot of friends in mixed martial arts. He's been kind of an extreme sports guy.
Is that a euphemism?
Yeah. He's been in the extreme. So he's like a skateboarder and whatnot. But he gets away with a lot more than Opie and Anthony can just because he's under the radar. Because of the thing that they got in trouble for and they got fired for and they had to sit out for 2 years waiting for their contract to go out, they're a lot more well-known, and it keeps the spotlight on them a little more. So
that was the St. Patrick's Cathedral thing,
exactly.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. Exactly. That's the thing that put the spotlight on them, and it makes it tougher for them to do their show. But before that, when people weren't really paying attention to them, man, they got away with all kinds of stuff.
But radio in this country is pretty tame in comparison with yours, definitely. And we've had, you saw the Russell Brand, Jonathan Ross business.
That's right. You know? He got in trouble for that.
Yeah, and basically it was pretty lame.
In America, there's a big debate now about the Mark Twain novel Huckleberry Finn.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, yeah.
You saw that, yeah.
I thought it was a complaint that one of Dr. P's fishes might have suffered.
He's selling a fish named Nigger Jim. Ron Bennington, actually, on Ron and Fez today, made a really good point. He said, I don't understand why we're so upset about having this book edited from Nigger Jim to Slave Jim. When we allow, you put Scarface on a basic channel, on a basic cable channel, and it is edited all to hell.
Absolutely. But did they still do that over there? Because I thought those days were gone. Because it weren't worth watching, was it?
No.
It's the same as Smokey and the Flipping Bandit.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not worth watching that. I edited Opie myself there. I don't know whether you noticed.
They ran a best of Opie and Anthony. They've done a whole bits on the TV takes.
For
movies, and they replayed one recently when they were talking about Smokey and the Bandit and how atrocious the TV edits are for it.
Yeah,
it's just terrible. And yet, no, that still happens on a lot of basic cable channels and definitely over the air. They always get edited when they're over the air.
Melon Farmers galore.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So, okay, we'll move into podcasts, which for me, frankly, I've been listening to podcasts, I guess a lot of us have, since 2005 when it first really started coming on. I think it was a great year for podcasts, really. There were some really good things out there.
There's a lot out there. You can't even get around to it all.
Yeah.
That's absolutely true. And I think virtually every decent website now tries to do a podcast as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, it is really good.
Yeah,
there is definitely too much to listen to.
It's you can't catch up with all of it, unfortunately, because there's a lot of good stuff out there. Now, for me, I kind of lean more towards the stuff that that has a little higher in production value. Just that's just me. There are some things I just can't listen to because it's just not well produced. But
you never listen to this then.
I just edit it. I don't listen to it.
A kid.
But no, my number three would be one I've been listening to since God for years now. The Rue Morgue Radio Podcast. Rue Morgue is a Canadian magazine focusing on horror. In America, the big horror magazine for the longest time was just Fangoria, which was pretty much written for teenagers. Rue Morgue, however, has a lot more of an adult audience. And when I want
is there nudity in it? I think I might have had a couple of those when I was a kid.
No, it's brand new. It's only been around. It just celebrated its 10-year anniversary. No, it's basically their byline is a horror in culture and entertainment.
Okay.
And they cover everything. Me being a horror fan that I am, I love Rue Morgue Radio just because they focus a lot on music. And there's a lot of
rockabilly.
Horror theme music and rockabilly and that kind of thing, which I really like a lot. And they also do interviews with guys that you would never hear. There's so much horror being done now by independent financed films and whatnot. You'd miss it all. So I kind of trust them for my horror fix when I'm looking for something new and unusual. And Rue Morgue Radio is great because it's primarily music, which I like to hear. And their interviews and their feature stories are just a really good supplement to the magazine.
Do they have a Doctor Who pullout section?
Doctor Who's a little too sci-fi for them, but I would love it if they did. If they added in Doctor Who, it'd be fantastic. But no, I mean they even treat like the cheesy stuff in horror. You know what? The cheesiest of the cheesy horror films, they'll say, you know what, this one is just even way too cheesy to even try. This one is cheesy and fun. This one is, if you're looking for gore, this is what you're looking for. Video games, music, movies, television, it just runs the gamut. And it's much better quality writing than Fangoria is here in America.
We've got
magazine.
Fangoria as well. And one of our, definitely our best film reviewer is a guy called Mark Kermode. I don't know if you're familiar. He's on the BBC. And there's a, you should listen to his podcast, which is him and Simon Mayo, but I'll get onto that in a sec because I'm going to have to hastily revise my podcast now. And he's a massive horror nut, just like you. Cool. And he used to write for Fangoria.
Cool. Excellent. I'll check that out.
I'll go Bill Burr's Monday Morning Podcast.
A great show. A fantastic show. And it's
consistently makes me laugh. And he's so spastic in the way he just blurts things out. I could listen to the guy just talk to himself about anything. That's basically all you're doing.
Yeah, that's really what you're doing. And that's what I love
about his girlfriend.
Don't care for her segments quite as much.
Yeah,
that's when I bowed
like
out. I used to listen. I would
she's
listen
not
to that.
Like a regular or anything.
Really?
Nah, right. She's never.
Every time I see it, it's like it's talking about the Rose Bowl or. You know, it's very, and why shouldn't it be, but it's very, it's not got a lot for listeners outside the America.
Yeah, probably not. But I mean,
why should it have?
You're as likely to go to the Rose Bowl as I am. I mean, Pasadena's a long way from here also. It's just he's telling about what he does and where he goes. And,
oh, yeah. You know,
And he's always funny when he quits drinking, too. He's so irritable when he's on the wagon.
But like with Bill Burr and even with Ron and Fez, I usually try to skip over the sports parts just because that's not me. And I'm sure it's kind of the same way for you, Booze, because, I mean, there's probably not a lot of American sports that you care anything about.
Well, not in a big way. But I'll tell you, like, as a quick sidebar, what I downloaded tons of just recently was the ESPN documentaries. You know, the 30 for 30.
Those are great.
Yeah. And every single one of them, apart from one, was brilliant. And they're all, you know, I didn't know about. What was the Donald Trump Football League thing that he killed? What was that called?
Was that the XFL?
The American. No, before that. It was the American AFL. Football League or whatever it was.
AFL.
AFL. Okay,
didn't,
yeah.
I didn't have a clue about it. I didn't even know it existed. You know, they're talking about the Pony Express and, you know, college ball and all that. No idea about any of that. And it didn't matter. They're fantastic documentaries, apart from the one that Bird made about Steinbrenner.
I didn't see that one. I've seen almost all of them. I didn't see that one. So there is
fucking horrendous mork
really?
Fest. You know, it's just like piano music being played in the background while everyone said how great he was.
Right.
Fuck. Yeah, it was terrible. But apart from that, they were all brilliant. Oh, my number three would be The Guardian Football Weekly. And I don't think we need to go into that too much. But it's a humorous take. It's a humorous take on the weeks. It's a bi-weekly, actually. Right. And it's a humorous take on the what's going on in football.
Got
or
it.
Soccer.
Yeah.
At the time.
Oh, yeah.
And it's good.
Oh, well, I got a tie for number two. And I'll only talk about both real quickly. But LCS hockey. Mike Dell, who has the Ed, that guy, you know, hosts the Ed show. Yeah.
I think I might start listening to that.
Him and his buddy Larry just sit and talk. They hardly ever bring up hockey. I don't follow hockey at all. And yet one of my favorite shows is this hockey show. And it's even better when the Ed calls in. He usually calls in at the beginning of every show and bitches if they're talking about hockey and, you know, tells what's going on in his life, which is always fascinating.
The name of the show is LCS Hockey.
Yeah.
And he calls in and complains when they talk
yes.
about it.
Yeah. He says it's not a real sport. There's not even a ball in it. What's wrong with you? Ain't no black people playing it. You know, it's great. He bitches on a regular basis if they bring up hockey. But many shows go by.
We need to get back on this.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, yeah. But many, many shows in a row consecutively will go by during hockey season where hockey's not mentioned. It's great. That ties with the Joe Rogan podcast. I love it. I really love that podcast. If the one you guys know and coming up wasn't around, this would be number one with a bullet.
I need to add that to my list because I keep intending to listen to it, and I never get around to adding it to my subscription.
When they have a douchey guest, it suffers, but Joe's a smart fucking guy, and he knows a lot about a lot of obscure things.
Cool.
He can be really fascinating, and, you know, it's him and this guy, Brian Redman, and they just get high as all hell and go in and record, and they'll have mixed martial artists and, you know, people totally on a different vibe than them. And interview him, but he's a pretty deep dude, man. It's interesting. I like it a lot.
I like it when he's on O&A and you know, he starts sharing life experiences or just ideas. Even when he gets into his conspiracy stuff, I kind of enjoy it because he actually seems to be able to listen to reason.
Well, I heard him on the Penn Jillette thing.
Oh, about the moon. I know what you're going to say about the moon landing.
Yeah, and I thought he obviously weren't going to win that argument, so he didn't even try.
Yeah,
you know, so the only place I know him from is that and that Carlos Mencia YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you ever want to hear something that'll blow your fucking mind, go to YouTube and type in Joe Rogan does DMT. He talks about doing this real powerful hallucinogen DMT and the experience he has. Yeah, it is. I've wanted to try it ever since I heard it, and I don't do drugs.
Anymore.
Yes.
Not anymore.
don't
eat. Not since the 1st of January. My number two would be Collins and Herring. And you've heard me, on SFJ I posted about Richard Herring quite a lot. He was probably my second favourite British comedian after Stuart Lee. And they used to be comedy partners.
Oh, nice.
I don't think it's coincidence because they're kind of in their 40s now. And comedy has really, really taken off in this country. It's, you know, prime time, mainstream TV now. But that, for me, is all kind of hack stuff. and the stuff they're doing is completely different. So with this podcast, you've got Richard Herring and his mate Andrew Collins, who used to write for The Enemy, you know, the music paper.
Yeah.
And now writes, you know, does a lot of work for BBC and stuff like that.
Herring is the guy that did the Hitler mustache, right?
Yeah, the Hitler mustache, where he actually grew a Hitler mustache in real life and walked around with it for the best part of a year to see what kind of reaction he would get, and then did a show about it, in which, well, it's pretty much 2 years he had the fucking moustache for, because he had to do it and then do the show about it. And didn't get much reaction at all, really. Which, you know, he was trying to reclaim the Hitler moustache because Charlie Chaplin had it too, and it was quite fashionable at the time.
Well, yeah. But it's been, you know who's done it, though? You know who's
Michael Jordan.
It? Michael Jordan has reclaimed the Hitler mustache.
He's got a flat-out Hitler. You could not call it anything else.
He does. Really? He's doing commercials.
No, but if it's on a black dude, it's a Robert Mugabe. That's what you
call it. He's doing commercials for, like, Hanes underwear and T-shirts, and there he is, plain as day, Hitler mustache on Michael Jordan. You're just like,
really
what
weird to
the
see,
hell?
Man. I thought it was a Photoshop the first time I saw it. I saw it on the internet first, and I thought, nah, no way.
It really is. Yeah, I keep meaning to try to find that Hitler mustache. I guess it's a DVD, isn't it, from Richard Herring?
Yeah, you can get all this stuff on DVD, okay. And it's very hard to find via our usual channels. That's the problem.
Okay. Yeah, I keep looking for it. I want to find it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not really – don't look for it. It's not there anymore. The best thing about that podcast is the fact that Andrew Collins is a very, very decent man and a nice man. And Richard Herring is also a nice man. But when he gets together with Andrew Collins, he kind of – you know, the devil sits on his shoulder, you know, and he can't help but play up to that. So a lot of the time he's saying things about how he wants to fuck Andrew Collins' mum. He wants to go back in time, like, you know, Back to the Future, but he wants to fuck Andrew Collins' mum. And then his dad's a paedophile for dressing as Santa Claus and going around Northampton on a truck when they were young. Anything that Andrew Collins says, he basically picks up on it and tortures him with it. To the point where Andrew Collins is starting to get a bit perturbed about it, and you can tell that he's getting a bit annoyed, and that makes it even better. You know?
Nice. Yeah, I'm going to be definitely listening more.
And they also do – there's lots of swearing on the podcast, but they also do a normal radio BBC radio show.
That must be the one I heard.
Yeah, that's where they're just being kind of nice. But the great thing about that is they refer to a lot of things that they talk about in the podcast, or Richard Herring does anyway, and he doesn't actually do any swearing, but, you know, it's filthy. Because he just, you know, says enough to let you know that he is. He started a new stand-up tour. He's doing Christ on a Bike.
Yeah. Which,
just Google Christ on a Bike and you'll see the promotional photos. They're brilliant. It's like him dressed as Christ on a chopper bicycle. You know, like one of the Red Hand Gang in Galilee. The whole podcast, hold of that podcast, it's him just going, listen, you cunts, you fucking come and see my show, otherwise I'm not doing none of this free shit anymore. Then he seems to calm down and goes through it all again.
I noticed on Twitter he's been bitching a lot about ticket sales. So.
Yeah, it's a bad time to do a tour. Yeah. Definitely. It's the wrong week to quit glute sniffing.
I based my number two on what I listen to the most and appreciate the most. And if I had to pick one that I try to never miss, and one of the reasons why I don't miss it is because it's so infrequent. You know, it comes around about like maybe twice a month or sometimes maybe once a month. But it's the Quick Hits podcast by Dave Hitt.
I'm a listener.
I really like that guy's podcast. He pays attention to production. He pays attention to what he's saying. He just does a really good job, and he's really interesting. I just like his show. He's a guy that discusses things that probably fall outside of the mainstream as far as what the American media would propose, but with a skeptic or almost atheist bent. I just appreciate what he says, because his whole purpose in it, involved in it, is to get you to think about things in a different way. And I really appreciate that. I never miss it. It's only about, each show is only about maybe 20 minutes, and I just really appreciate that. It's just short, it's quick, it's insightful, and I just like it a lot. It's one of my favorite shows. That was one of my favorite episodes, when he talked about being a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah.
Formally. That was a really great episode.
Yeah, none too fond memories he has of that part of his life, that's for sure.
Yeah, I really like Quick Hits. It's definitely in my number two for the year.
Oh, I've never heard of that one. It sounds a bit like SFJ's own Rob Revere.
A little different. I'm sure they would probably be on opposite ends of the spectrum as far as their opinions go. But, yeah, we probably should mention Rob Revere, since he publishes our show on his network, which we appreciate very, very much.
Yeah, shout out to Rob.
I've listened to quite a lot of Rob this year. And that,
Rob's got a fun show.
It is a fun show. I can't tell what the fuck is going on, but it sounds like a lot of fun. I like the fact that he seems to be having beefs with pretty much everyone in the whole world via his radio show.
Did you hear the one where Mike Dell from LCS Hockey was on?
No.
No, I haven't heard that.
I don't think Rob has.
I know he said he was going to try and get him on.
Oh, no, he had him and it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think he's blacked out by him.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I did hear that. That was good.
I missed that one somehow.
My man.
Yeah, like.
Was like says, top five all time drunk.
If you can't get drunk on your own radio show, where can you get drunk?
Yeah, seriously. I guess that's the point.
I'm working on my fourth gin and tonic, so hell, why not?
I don't drink anymore. You've
got an umbrella in
there. But...
Gin and tonics and Doctor Who. That's what you should rename this podcast.
Yeah. My number one, and this is very, very new, but Ron and Fez like to feature the music of Sherwin Sleeves a lot.
Oh, it's so good.
His podcast.
Is that the guy who did Monkey Howls?
Yeah, Mighty Horse. He did Mighty Horse. He did the Fa-La-La song for Christmas, which I love. Yeah. Which Anthony on Opie and Anthony hates, but I love it.
I love it. I listen to it every Christmas. I mean, well, two now, and over and over.
Sherwin Sleeves does a podcast called Atoms, Motion, and the Void that I just absolutely love. And
like production value, it's outstanding in that regard.
And that's really one of my top criteria on a podcast I'm going to listen to regularly is a production value. And the production value is tremendous. I think I described it on SFJ as like if Garrison Keillor, Timothy Leary, and Tom Waits collaborated on a podcast, kind of what it would sound like. It's just fascinatingly I don't want to say strange, but I can't.
Oh, it's incredibly strange. It sounds like you're on acid.
It's strange in such a good way.
He's got such a powerful voice too.
It's so good.
I took the note in my hand, sipped the tea, and continued. You will, of course, not remember having written Streamlines of the Futurist. You will, however, recall our mutually agreed-upon vow of silence, and you will also remember sleeping in the main study. What you do not remember is that while you slept, I sat at the typewriter and transcribed your unconscious dictation. We have found this method of constraining or eliminating talk during the waking hours conducive to such sleep-talking. I will stop by shortly to see you. You may find yourself in a deeply empathetic state, untethered and drifting. You may find yourself out of your body, shifting here to there, from this person to that, or even this thing to that. Suddenly you will be the floor you are walking on, or the shoes on your feet, or the man in the car, or the boy in the airplane, or the cloud looking down on the city, such as the initial experience of the morphine ghost. There is no insistence that these experiences be considered real. I'm sure you are well. The old business is done, Sherwin. Let the new business begin. My kindest regards, Tristram.
I love it so much. It's become my favorite podcast. I love it. It's Sherwin Sleeves, Adam's Motion in the Void. It's my number one podcast of the year. I love it.
Wow. That's come out of left field for me, so I've never heard about that before.
So, yeah. Do you like Prairie Home Companion? I mean, you've admitted you like Phil Collins, so it's not going to hurt if you say I'm asking seriously, dude.
That was just wrong. I didn't even bring it up. You had to bring
but
it
do
up.
But do you like
Why
it?
Why are we on the subject? Though I should only have six sides. That's the only amount of sides I should.
What I've heard, I actually like. I do like stories. I've always liked stories.
Oh, hell, it's nothing but stories, yeah.
I've always liked storytelling, and Garrison Keillor's one of the best. I can't recommend Sherwin Sleeves podcast highly enough. Adam's Motion. I would have to check. I love it.
Right, Pete, really... are you ready for the first one? We're going to go together on this one. Ready?
What? Big three! Yeah. Man, I love the Windy City Heat about as much as anything I've watched in my life. And we all share love for practical jokes and pranks, knowing each other through Hendry's radio show.
Right.
But that little film took it to the next level. They're so mean to Perry, and Perry's such a dick you don't mind how brutal they're being. And he's not right in the head, but now they've got a podcast that seems to just be another platform for Don and Mo to fuck with Perry. It's beautiful. I think they've made him sing Back in Black at the top of his lungs almost every episode.
The best thing about it for me is the fact that it seems to you get the impression they haven't seen each other at all.
Right.
They stopped doing production for Windy City 8. You know, because there's little bits where Perry says, you know, Mo goes, "You're my best friend, dude." And Perry goes, "I haven't seen you for 2 years." So, you know, Perry's basically been living in his apartment for 2 years on his own, doing fuck all. By his own admission, he doesn't work at all.
Nothing. He's
you know, he's on kinds of medication.
I don't know how
his terrible digestive system.
Oh, you know, he gets some kind of medical disability.
He's got to.
He's got a big scar on his throat. Have you ever noticed that?
No, I haven't.
Oh, like a tracheotomy scar.
That's where it's from. Yeah, tracheotomy. Yeah. And I don't know if you ever noticed when he takes his hat off, he's got a big one right across his hairline as well, which it explains.
Yeah.
That must be from the lobotomy.
Yeah. he's been pretty fucked up. And I think he's brain damaged. I really do.
Well, apparently it's Dr. Drew. That's the only doctor I listen to.
And they fuck with this guy. And, you know, it's not all mean. It mostly is. But, like, they'll say outlandish things. They push the envelope of how gullible he is. He meets people named Hiroshima Nagasaki, and John Quincy Adams calls in every day. And during the first podcast, it blew me away. It was during the when all the Chilean miners, you know, were trapped underground.
Oh, yeah.
They were calling into the show. And
there was one Chilean miner calling up and asking him, "Hey, Perry, can you sing Back in Black for us, man?"
Down here. We can't get any radio, but we'll all listen to the phone. And we love the Back in Black, and they start the music. They've already made him sing it once, you know. And he can barely talk. He's hoarse from that time. And he does again.
Now, what we understand is one of your favorite American songs is the Australian song Back in Black.
Hey, Back in Black.
So this is part of our new charity thing. It's called the Big Three Give Back in Black.
All right.
And what we're gonna do?
Very happy. Make us.
Okay, we're gonna have Perry. Perry, would you?
Perry.
Yes.
He's gonna sing a little something for you. This is for all you guys down there. And all I can say is this. We will see you in December when you get out of there.
Oh, gracias.
All right, here you go. Here's Scary Perry Caramello. Give me some volume.
Back in black! In the sack! I've been the long lines of being fast now. Let loose from a noose that's getting me hanging around, you know, living on the side on getting me high. I got the hearse because I never die. I got nine eyes, cat's eyes, cruising everybody that I want to buy. Because I'm back. Yes, I'm back.
Oh, sing it with
well, I'm back. So I'm back. Well, I'm back.
He's back.
He's back. He's back.
It really is a funny show.
Yeah.
There was about five, maybe a minute on the first show when I thought, oh, I wonder if this is going to be any good. And then after that, wow.
Yeah.
It completely exceeded all my expectations. And, it's a late runner for my number one podcast. Easy. It blew away the opposition.
Yeah, I have not laughed that hard at anything that consistently. I mean, it is 1 hour of just, yeah, I miss lines.
They put the work in as well, you know, because we were saying before we started recording that, you know, if anyone doesn't believe that Perry really is like he is, then no one could actually act like that. And also, for a lot of these podcasts, he's just basically he doesn't talk. He doesn't want to be there.
Yeah.
You know, if he's playing a character, he'd be doing a lot better than that.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to cajole him into saying anything and not going into the corner and puking up after he's eating 5 pounds of Polish, rancid Polish sausage.
That expired a month earlier. Yeah.
We have to recommend Windy City Heat to anyone who's never seen it.
Oh, it's...
Absolutely.
It's
and the extras as well.
If you want an introduction to who... Perry Caravello is, you got to see Windy City Heat.
And honestly, it's not Perry that makes me laugh the most. It's listening to Don and Mole work him up. And, you know, one thing Perry cannot take is hearing that he's not professional. Because to him, that is important to his ego, that he'd be the consummate professional. And he's always, Don's going, you know, I keep getting these letters from the Ace Broadcasting Network saying, you know, we like the podcast, but Perry's just not professional enough. And it drives him insane.
I loved it this week when they did the New Year's show. And Don brings Perry in, and it, like Sandy's wife is supposed to be in the gallery, you know, in the other room. And he brings him in for a little chat, and he goes, talk real quiet so no one hears us. And we're mic'd up, headphones.
Yeah.
Laugh. you know that Sandy's wife is one of the executives of Ace Broadcasting Network, don't you? You've got to really start turning on, buddy. I know. And when they do the John Quincy Adams records that Mole does before, they've only just started mucking about with that, like this week when they're talking about Auld Lang Syne.
Yeah.
And he says, what's that, Don? Like, Don hasn't said anything. What's that, Don? What does Auld Lang Syne mean? And he starts explaining it. Yeah, what does it mean?
It is amazing what he just keeps falling for, and yet...
But that would make the best video podcast, though, because you really want to see it all. And they've got some photos up on the site. And if you go to the site, and after you've watched each episode, after you listen to each episode, you go and have a look at the photos. And you see, 1 week, like, Mole turns up in a suit. And he goes, hey, man, you really made the effort. And you could tell that Tony Barbieri has had some other acting gig, because he's just drawn the Mole moustache on.
And the wig.
You know, you just have a look. It's ridiculous. And the week that they were doing the breast cancer, you know, charity fundraiser episode.
They all, wore pink, but Perry. And they're like, we told you, you've got to support breast cancer and wear pink. You know, and they, of course they didn't tell him that. And since he wasn't wearing pink, they wrote breast cancer on his face, on his forehead and face. God, they just...
B-R-E-S-T.
Yes, they misspelled it also.
Oh, it is a great show. It really is funny.
I hope more people listen and it gets popular. I hope people do send Don Bears $10 because for $10 you get a shout out. And I'm thinking about sending him $10 to get a shout out to SFJ, but you guys need to chip in first.
Okay.
Well, they, and, they need that money to pay for all the spaghetti that's going to be coming up when they cook them in Paris.
Oh, I know. They're having a podcast at his house, which he doesn't like anyone coming to his house, especially Mole.
If you go on YouTube.
Mole deliberately broke everything last time he was there.
And his mum's dresser with a glass top.
Yeah.
You know, they're not allowed to touch that.
Can we do coke off this?
The trophy you got from the president of Hollywood.
Yeah, they broke it.
I got to catch up with you guys. I'm still a lot of episodes behind.
Well,
I couldn't stop.
If anyone wants to know what we're talking about, then just go on YouTube and search for Windy City Heat, the reveal, when they show Perry the film for the first time around Perry's house and he's cooking spaghetti for him, which Don eats in about 4 seconds flat and then goes and pukes in the bathroom.
Oh, God. The most gullible man alive.
Yeah, they are really cruel to him.
A beautiful man.
Really fun.
Beautiful and sexy man. And I think he just gets better with age, Perry.
Yeah.
You know, he's starting to look very distinguished now. I think... That hat starting to really suit him. And bag.
I bet if we said something the right way and could get this to Don Barris, he would edit it and play it in his podcast. I'm just going to try.
I'm sure Don Barris gets about 3 mentions on Twitter.
This podcast is almost good enough to make my number one, but the Big Three podcast instead gets 2nd place in my vote. And you all know why, because Perry just isn't professional enough. Don't you agree?
Yes.
It would be number one by a mile if he was.
If Perry could just pull it together, it would definitely be probably one of the best podcasts out there.
It would be number one with the Ace Broadcasting Network. I'm sure of it.
It could be.
It'd beat Damashek. It'd beat all those guys.
That's why my vote for number one goes to the Terrifying Tim podcast.
Yep. Yep. All right. I'm going to at least... Twitter him that we talked about him when this gets released, and I bet he would edit that and play it for Perry and just upset him.
And that will do it for this episode of the SweetFeatheryJesus.com podcast. For more fun and laughs, make sure you visit our message board at SweetFeatheryJesus.com. You can subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. Just look for SweetFeatheryJesus.com. We're also available on the Revere Radio Network. Please check revereradio.net for showtime listings. And you can email me, the host, Belasco at sweetfeatheryjesus.com. Follow us on Twitter at sfj.com. That's sfjdotcom. And we're also on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/sweetfeatheryjesus. Mary had a little lamb.
Get up!